This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We talk today about ungratefulness. We talk about ungratefulness, which is also a disease of the heart. And like we said in the series, that you have, like all diseases, you have that same person, he suffers from the flu virus and he's mildly sick. Then you find someone else, he suffers from that same virus, but it's terminal. It overpowers him, it's about to kill him. So some of these diseases, we might, and all of us, wa'yadu billah, without an exception, all of us suffer from these diseases either in a very small, minute way or in a very big way where we seriously need to look and diagnose ourselves. During this discussion, when we look at these facts and figures and we look at these ayat and ahadith, we should ask ourselves, do I fall in this boat? There's no one here to correct you, ya, my beloved brother and sister in Islam. This is for you to diagnose yourself, for you to look at your own well-being and say, subhanallah, is my heart salim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, illa man ata biqalbin salim. The only one who is successful on qiyamah is the one who comes with a heart that is salim, meaning safe and sound and pure. Are our hearts ready for the scrutiny of Qiyamah? I speak to myself first. Many of these things I look at and subhanAllah, I know I fall into this myself. And each one of us need to make that introspection. And as we said, while we are still alive, while there is still breath in our lungs, we say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, wastaghfiru, we to make tawbah to you, Ya Allah, let us be better. Let tomorrow be better than today. Cure me of these diseases, Ya Allah, and set me right. For Allah has taken the Sahaba with the worst of people, and Allah can change their hearts to becoming the awliya that they were. Allah can change all of us easily, insha'Allah, if we really are sincere in that. Let us talk about ungratefulness. Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 17, in fact, Iblis says this, and it's in the Quran. When Allah cast Iblis out, when he refused to make sujood to Adam, in fact we said the very first sin of Iblis was jahl, ignorance, when he believed he was superior to Adam, and being ignorant alone was not the primary sin, but being proud and refusing to accept Allah's command, even when you are wrong. This was the critical sin. Then when finally it was confirmed that he was wrong, he said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ, then surely I will come to them, meaning insan, I will come to Adam and his offspring, from before them, in front of them, and behind them, and from their right and on their left side. You, Ya Allah, Iblis is telling Allah, you Allah shall not find most of them grateful. I will make it my job that they will be ungrateful. This is a promise Iblis gave to Allah before Nabi Adam came to the dunya. He said, I promise my job will be to make them ungrateful. And you'll find, Ya Allah, the majority of them will be ungrateful. Iblis's promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, قَالَ خَرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْءُومًا مَدْخُورًا. Get out. Get lost. Allah said to Iblis, get out of Jannah, reproached and expelled. You are now expelled and cursed. Whoever follows you among them, I will surely fill Jahannam with you and with them. So this is a pact that Iblis made with Allah. I will make them ungrateful. Ungratefulness, in fact, in the Quran, what is the term in Arabic to use, ungrateful? We know shakir is to give thanks. Shukr is to give alhamd, is praise and thanks. What is the opposite of giving gratitude? It's kufr. The term ungratefulness in the Quran is actually kufr. Kafara, the verb kafara, refers to the farmer who sows his seed when he conceals or covers up the seed. So kafara means to cover up something. It can be good or bad. Of course, when we talk about kufr, disbelief, the opposite of iman, out of Islam, the one who disbelieves in Allah or conceals his belief in Allah or who denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a major kufr. But to deny the mercy of Allah, Allah also calls this kufr, a type of disbelief. Because you have disbelieved in the mercy and the blessings of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُونِي, O ibadi, O my servants, remember me. أَذْكُرْكُمْ, and I will remember you. وَشْكُرُوا لِي, and be grateful to me. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ, and do not commit kufr. Kufr here refers to, do not deny or be ungrateful to me. So just on that, Jamaatul Muslimin, the fact that Allah describes ungratefulness as kufr, and we know this K word is the dangerous K word. The other one is also dangerous, but this K word is a lot more dangerous. When Allah uses the term kufr anywhere in the Quran, very, very dangerous. And Allah describes the one who is ungrateful, that he is being ungrateful to Allah. He's of the kafirun or the kafirin, not a disbeliever, we don't say kharij min al-millah, you'll be in Jahannam for eternity. No, we say that this, when you are ungrateful to Allah, you are in a state of denial of Allah. You are actually denying Allah's existence when you deny His blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows best, He's insan, He knows who we are. And I'm not saying that we are ungrateful, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innal insan, verily insan, li rabbihi lakanood. That verily insan to his Rabb is extremely ungrateful and unjust. That you wrong, we are wrong to Allah. So Allah is saying, innal insan li rabbihi lakanood. That you, O insan, to me, you are extremely ungrateful. Wa innahu ala dhalika lashaheed. And you, O insan, yourself, you are witness to that. You bear testimony. If I asked you, are you grateful to me? Do you give shukr to what I give you? You'll say no. Insan in general, Allah is saying, all of us, we don't give Allah His due. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves, we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa innahu lihubbi al-khayri lashadid. And insan, you are extremely in love and intensely in love of the blessings and the goodness of the dunya, but you are not grateful when I give that to you. In our ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how many of us fall into this bucket? I know sometimes I fall into this bucket as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الدُّرُّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ. Allah says, and when affliction touches man, when we go through calamity and hardship, then we call out to Allah, either lying down or sitting on our sides or sitting or standing. We are sincere. We beg to Allah and we cry to Allah. Ya Allah, I'm not feeling well. Ya Allah, financially things are bad. We are sincere to Allah. We remember Allah in times of distress. We all know that. But when we remove, Allah says, when we remove from him his affliction, we take the calamity away, we give back his health, we restore his wealth, he continues in disobedience, as if he had never called out to us to remove an affliction that touched him. Then we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us, how many of us, were we more pious to Allah in times of adversity than in times of goodness? That when things are going well, subhanallah, we don't make that tahajjud salah anymore. We don't make those long du'as anymore. We don't cry to Allah. So in a way, we are saying, Ya Allah, when you afflict us with calamity, then we return to you. And sometimes an affliction, a calamity, is in some ways, we don't make dua for it. We don't say, Ya Allah, bring calamity on us. No, we don't say that. But sometimes a calamity is a blessing. Allah says another place in the Quran, we sometimes give you taste the small punishment so that you may be averted the big punishment, so that it wakes you up. But we don't want to be slaves like this, Ya Allah. We want to love Allah and praise Him and thank Him, good times and bad times. And the more good He gives us, the more we are thankful. That's what we want to do. But Allah says, by and large, when you come to me in times of difficulty, you come to me when you're 70 and 80 and you're about to die, but you forgot me in the youth. You forgot me in your good times. In the wealthy times, you forgot about me. You didn't think of the poor. But now when tables have turned and you are poor, now you ask me. And sad, even when I give it to you, you forget and you go back to your old ways. All of us, wa yadu billah, we all fall in this category. May Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. Another ayah, Allah says, if I truly, ya insan, took you to account for how you truly are, if Allah says, if I was just in terms of I give you what you deserve and you got what you deserved, the punishment would be so bad, not a single living thing would exist on this earth. That's how bad that punishment would be. If I was truly technical with you, I gave you what you deserved. But Allah withholds and He gives us rope and slack. And that's why in our old age, before we pass away, many of us, we will go through, we'll have a wake up in our consciousness. We might go through some disease and ailments. And then we see the brother making his salah and he spends most of his time in ibadat. Allah does not take him away all of a sudden. This is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But like we said, we ask Allah to grant shifa'a to all those who are ill. We don't make dua for sickness and disease. We ask that, Ya Allah, let us be pure without that kind of calamity. Allah also says, and when we bestow favor on man, he turns aside and he behaves proudly. And when evil afflicts him, then he is despairing and he comes back. So when someone is given, he forgets where he started. Jamaatul Muslimin, where did we all start? We entered this dunya with nothing to our account, nothing to our name, owning nothing, not even able to move. Someone had to carry us. And subhanallah, we will leave in the exact same state. Someone will have to carry us to our grave. Everything that was given and is given, and so much Allah has given to us, it's only on loan and by lease. and he will take it away and give to somebody else. And the question is, what did you do with those blessings while it was in your hand and your power? But how many of us, we feel a sense of self-worth? I achieved this. This millions in my account and this amazing thing came from me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take it away in a moment. So Allah says, how ungrateful is this insan when I give him, and when he has it, then he behaves proudly and arrogantly. I give him blessings and he uses those blessings against me. He uses it to oppress others. He uses it to harm others. The blessing I gave him for free. I didn't ask him for any interest. I just gave it to him. All the favors of Allah. So Allah begins to tell us all the favors he gave us. Allah says, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And whatever of blessing and good things you have is from Allah. So if you close your eyes and you say, what are the things you love the most? Allah says, no, that is from me. You got nothing from anybody other than me. Allah is the one that gave each and every one of us everything. One alim, you know, they asked this young person, asked the alim, Shaykh, I want to disobey Allah. So he said, no problem, disobey Allah. But don't use his time and his body and his health and his wealth that he gave you. If you're going to disobey, you're going to go against someone, then don't use his blessings or his gifts to you. Use someone else's stuff. SubhanAllah, everything I have is from Allah. So how ungrateful then. He gives it to you, now you want to misuse it. Then don't use Allah's blessings. So Allah says, everything that you have, everything is from me. I gave it to you free of charge, without any interest. I gave it to you as a test. How will you use it when you return it back? And it will come back to Allah. It will go back to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he gave you, O insan, from all you asked of him. Everything that you asked and that insan needs, also I give it to you. I've given it to you. And if you should count the favors of Allah, you could not enumerate them. You would not be able to count all Allah's favors. If we had to make a list, what are the things I love? What are the things, if Allah took them away, it would hurt me. If you took away my wealth, my health, my family, my job, my friends, my knowledge, all those things, you'd end up, Ya Allah, there's a list I can no longer continue. And Allah says, I gave all of that to you, basically for free. So Allah says, you cannot begin to count the favors of Allah. Indeed, mankind, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَذَلُومًا كَفَّارًا. Dhulm and kufr, Allah is saying that he is most unjust, he's an oppressor. And he is kafara, meaning ungrateful. Oppressing who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously we can't oppress Allah. But what is meant here, we don't give Allah his right. When you take someone's rights, you've oppressed him. So Allah says, you've taken my right unjustly. And you have not given me the due that I am owed. I've given you my part. Allah says, you didn't ask me, but I gave you your health and your wealth. And I've given you so much that you didn't even ask. How many of us, if we say, but I made dua for these things. How many of us did we make dua for our sight? For our strength, for our health, when it was given to us. For our parents, who made dua for his parents? He got those things free of charge. So also, I gave you without you even asking. Yet to me, you don't give and respond. Even though Allah calls us, we don't respond. And we forget him only in the time of adversity. Maybe the fortunate ones come back. And if we begin to just reflect, many of us, we look and say, well, alhamdulillah, yes, I'm grateful, but there's so much I don't have, and there's so many who have more than me. So, Ya Allah, of the ungrateful list, I'm not right on top. I mean, I'm not the billionaire that has so much to be. You should be grateful first. I'm just here at the bottom. Sometimes we feel that we are just ordinary or average. Wallah, subhanAllah, if you look at the reality, you have really hit the jackpot, you and I. Do we know that half the world's population, over 3 billion people, live on 1,000 rand a month? It's like $2 a day, less than that. If you earn more than 1,000 rand a month, then you are better than 50% of the dunya. Think of it like that. That you are above average. Above average. So when you say, I am poor, per the definition, if you earn less than 1,000 rand, then you can say, yes, I'm poor, I'm below the average. This is the major, half the world's population, statistically, earns less than 1,000 rand a month. If you earn more than that, well, alhamdulillah, you are better than most, above 50%. 25,000 people die due to poverty, starvation, dying because you have nothing to eat. 2 million people a year, 25,000 a day. 25,000 today people are going to die because they just don't have something to eat or a few extra rands in their pocket. Could have been averted. Could have been averted. 2 million people a year die because of diseases which were easily to prevent. We could have easily prevented them. It just required to share a little bit of the wealth. To give that person an extra 2-3 rand a day, that would have saved 2 million lives. 1 in 9 people are undernourished on this dunya. They don't have enough to eat. Subhanallah, for us, we struggle because we eat too much. Whereas there are people who are dying because they don't have enough to eat. This is not to make us feel guilty about what we have, but at the very least to say, Alhamdulillah, what I have. Ya Allah, you could have put me in that boat. And many of these people, subhanAllah, better than us in terms of moral conduct, in terms of their relationship with Allah. Some of them are even maybe more grateful to Allah than us. They say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. May Allah increase them. As I said, I saw a video of these children picking up in Syria grains of bread on the floor and said, crumbs, this is our meal. So the presenter asked, what would you like to say to the Muslim Ummah? So they said, may Allah increase you in your goodness. Alhamdulillah, we're not complaining, and may Allah give you even more. SubhanAllah, we're not going to complain, Allah. And they said, if we can have patience with Allah in this. These are like a 5-year-old girl and boy saying, we are patient with Allah. We're not going to be angry with Allah. And we hope that Allah gives whoever He gave even more, and let them be happy and grateful as well. Alhamdulillah. So our favors for us here in South Africa, how many of us have said, myself included, Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah for my iman. Alhamdulillah that you brought me to the masjid today. We know that we are 1, 2, maybe 3% of this population, Muslims. You are in the top 3%, 2% that Allah has opened your heart to Islam, free of charge basically, without persecution and without any problem. But you were given an access to Jannah basically at birth. We know the Sahaba had to fight for it. The Anbiya had to die for it. For us, alhamdulillah, Allah gave it free of charge. And He could have given it to somebody else, but He selected. So that's why, brothers and sisters, know that in last week's lecture when I said, you might feel, what can I do? Who am I? You are special because Allah selected you for a reason. He gave you iman and hidayah for a reason. So that you can do something with it. That you are the best. You're supposed to be the, we are supposed to be the best. Because He selected of the 100% of people, He said, this 2% will be the special group. I'll give them iman and Islam. How many of us have said, Alhamdulillah, I am making sujood to you and not to an idol or to one of the creations of Allah. I can go directly to you, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us have said that? Our health, and we know, all of us get sick. We can remember the times we were in hospital, that we were very, I was very sick, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we remember. But how many days of health do we remember? Can we count the days we've been healthy? We can count the days that we've been sick. Like Nabi Ayyub, when he was in extreme sickness, and his wife said, and he lost his kids, he lost his wealth, he lost his ability to walk, he lost his ability to move. He was so sick, no one even wanted to come near him. All he could do was move his tongue. And his wife said, still you're not going to be like upset with Allah? So he said, you know, Allah had given me 50, 60 years of health. Now Allah has given me 7 years of sickness and I become upset with Allah. I wasn't upset with Allah for 60 years when He gave what I wanted. But now when things are not going my way, now I want to cut my ties with Allah. SubhanAllah. We should have this mindset of Nabi Ayyub. That Ya Allah, the bad times, yes, remove it, Ya Allah. But we won't be upset with you, ungrateful, because we know what you have given us in the good times. Our wealth and our family, sometimes we complain a lot about our families, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. What would we do? What would we do if we lost a child or someone that we love? Irreplaceable. Wealth is replaceable. You lose it, you can make it back. A parent can't be replaced. A child can't be replaced. These things that are irreplaceable, who watches over them? We're not there to see to them every single night and day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches over them. May Allah keep them safe. May Allah not put us through that test. Ya Allah, don't test us by taking away. If one of them was taken away, what sadness would we feel? So at the same time, we should have that same amount of gratitude when it's there for us. So Ya Allah, I can't thank you enough for the family that you give, the parents, the wife, the kids that you've given us. Ya Allah, only grant us goodness. All of us, all our kids and family. How sad would we feel if our kids fall into sickness or yadu billah misguidance? May Allah keep us safe. So we should thank Allah when things are good, hunky-dory. When things are not bad, then we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said about wealth that many of us, we live well, well above the average of this dunya. The majority of the people of this dunya live in worse positions than most of us here. our freedom, and we see Muslims in Muslim countries unable to practice Islam. You can come here in the middle of the day, the middle of the working day, and practice freely. No one has ever said once, don't come. And with that freedom comes an amana, comes a responsibility. Our education, we said this already when we spoke about ignorance, that you want to destroy someone, take away his knowledge. And if you have the ability to read and write, remember Sahaba themselves could not read or write. Yet how sad is it that the one who can't read or write or is blind, wa iyadhu billah, will have more khatams of the Quran with Allah in Qiyamah. The man who is poor will have more charity than us that are wealthier. What excuse will we have to Allah on that day? May Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. So how do we give thanks, Ya Allah? How do I give shukr to you, Ya Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever is grateful, remember, he's only grateful for the benefit of his own self. Allah does not increase by our shukr at all. Allah is Allah. And he does not benefit by your hamd. And he doesn't need our hamd. But Allah says, it is for your own well-being in the dunya and the akhirah that you are grateful. So how do we show gratefulness, gratitude? Ulama mentioned on three levels. Number one, the gratitude of the heart is a mindset where you recognize everything I have is from you, Allah, and everything that I have can be taken away from you by you, Ya Allah, and you can give it to somebody else. But you've given it to me. Alhamdulillah, you need to be praised. That's why at least 17 times a day, brothers, you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. First thing when you begin, Ya Allah, before I ask for anything more, before I say anything further, I begin by saying, you know, may Allah, all praise be unto you, Ya Allah, what you've given me. 17 times a day, we say that. Then the hamd of the tongue, and the true form of gratitude is when we use, so the ulama, we ask, how do you give shukr? Yes, you can make dhikr, but the best way of giving gratitude to Allah is to use that which He gave you in the manner He wants it to be used. So Allah says, indeed, the hearing and the sight and the heart, about all these things, you will be questioned on Qiyamah. Every blessing, Allah is going to ask you, I gave you sight. There's someone else I didn't give sight. What did you use your eyes for? I gave you health and someone else wasn't strong and healthy. What did you use your health for? I gave you wealth. What did you use that wealth I gave you? Remember, it's on loan. What's the return? Allah has invested these things in you. What is the return to Allah? What benefit have you done? The true way of shukr is to say, you've given me, Ya Allah, this blessing. How do I use it for your sake, for your purpose? The best of the best are the ones who use every blessing for Allah's sake. But we, subhanAllah, we don't want, you know, we want to get there. But if we can't get there, let us at least use, not the bare minimum, but let us do enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you've done enough. Look at how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mindset was. One day the Prophet Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I was walking in the middle of the day. Now if you, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in Medina, that's like walking 2 o'clock at night here in South Africa. 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock the afternoon in Medina, it's super hot. Everyone is sleeping. It's Qaylula, it's siesta. Everyone sleeps that time. This was the norm, even in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr is walking around at like in the middle of the, in, you know, as we say, the middle of the night. He's walking around and he bumps into Sayyidina Umar, and Sayyidina Umar says, Ya Abu Bakr, what are you doing awake this time of day? You should be sleeping. It's so hot. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, what could bring a man out of his house at this time except hunger? I'm so hungry I can't sleep. And Sayyidina Umar says, I have the same problem. And they find Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meeting them, and he says, I have the same problem like the three of you. I'm also so hungry and I can't even sleep. So Sayyidina Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari, the great companion who housed, he took the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in when he came to Medina, great Sahabi Abu Ayyub. He used to have a custom where he would keep some of the food aside for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and whenever he visited, he would have something for the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not visit him, he would give that food in charity. But he always kept a meal, a plate. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look, Abu Ayyub keeps me food, let's go to him. And when Abu Ayyub saw the three of them at the door, he said, SubhanAllah, wonderful, wonderful guests. Let me make like a banquet. And he said, I'm going to give each of, he picked some dates from his date tree, and he slaughtered a goat. And Nabi Sallallahu said, don't slaughter a goat that gives milk. So he slaughtered a very small young goat. And he told his wife, bake some bread. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum, and Abu Ayyub, they had this meal. And when they were done, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began to cry. And he said, wallahi, this is such a great blessing. This meal is such a great ni'mah, and Allah is going to specifically ask each of us on Qiyamah, what did you do? That meal I gave you, look how hungry you were, I fixed that hunger. How do you respond? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, begin by saying Bismillah, and when you enter, Alhamdulillah. Small things, this is enough for Allah. Allah doesn't want you to feed him, but Allah wants you to recognize it came from him. Now that meal that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, I promise you the meals that we have today are better than that, each day. Better than that. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized, Allah is going to ask me about this. And how am I going to respond? Another form, as we said, the best way of giving shukr, to use that which Allah has given you in His sake and for His cause. Another way of showing gratitude is not wasting. SubhanAllah, Allah gives you something that someone else doesn't have and you throw it away. The height of ingratitude. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to one Sahabi, Sa'ad, what is this extravagance? You're taking wudu. He said, you're wasting water. So Sa'ad said, SubhanAllah, can I be extravagant in wudu, in ibadah? For Allah's sake, I'm wasting water. This is for Allah. Is there even waste in wudu? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, even in wudu, even if you were making wudu at the river, that can still be wasteful. Now, SubhanAllah, when we take wudu, we know, we just hear on the radio, people are this drought, that, you know, so many farms are going bankrupt, that there are people struggling through drought, and in other parts of the world, they're dying. Yet we flush and we throw water down the toilet like nothing. SubhanAllah. People look at the masjids. I tell you, non-Muslims look at the masjids and they see how much of water you people are wasting. SubhanAllah. It's something we need to think about. And Nabi spoke about this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Another way of wasting a blessing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there are five things, use them before they are gone, because you will lose them. Use your youth before you become old. When you analyze your youth, what did I do with my youth? What benefit did I use my youth? Because I'm going to get old where there are things I can't do. But if I spend all of my youth in the disobedience of Allah, or on things wasting, not for the sake of Allah, you can never get it back. So for our younger brothers and sisters, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, use your youth before you become old, and your health before you become sick, your free time before you become busy, your wealth before you become poor, and your life before you die. Those are blessings which are temporary blessings, all of them. You'll get them for a period and they'll be gone. Use them wisely. Use them. How many old people will say, I wish I could go back and I could do better. I can't do it now. I wish I was strong enough to stand in tahajjud, but I can't. I wish I was strong enough, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. A time will come where we can't fast anymore. So I wish I had that strength to fast again, myself included. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Nabi Sallallahu says, two blessings which go wasted. Many, good health and free time. You have a holiday, and subhanAllah, instead of using that free time to do something beneficial, we let it go down. Other forms of ingratitude. And this is a dangerous hadith, this I'm going to speak about. Dangerous hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I was shown Jahannam, and I never saw anything more terrifying than Jahannam. Right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, right? Not me. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and I saw the majority of the people of Jannah being poor people, and the majority of the people of Jahannam being women. So the female Sahaba, the female companion said, why, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Why is the majority of the women, people of Jahannam females? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, because you are ungrateful. So they said to Allah subhanahu, are we ungrateful to Allah? So he said, no, you are ungrateful to your companions being your husbands. Why? Because he spends and he does so much to make your life comfortable, and he gives you and treats you well. But the one day he slips up, then you say, I have never seen any goodness from you. You are the worst of the worst. That's fine. Many of the brothers smiles. It's right. We get it a lot, right? When the imam talks and the sisters say, listen to Mawlana. Listen, why don't you listen? The best of you is best as well. We talk about, but this is something for us. The point of this hadith, you can be ungrateful to Allah by being ungrateful to His creation. Being ungrateful to your husband or to your wife, to your parents, to your children, to your employers or your employees. You can be ungrateful to the kindness of other people is being ungrateful to Allah. Nabi says, whoever does not thank others has not thanked Allah. Brothers, but I spend, you know, hours making dhikr, subhanAllah, every day. How can Allah say, you didn't appreciate the one who did good to you. And ask yourselves, how many good people do we have in our lives that make our life easier? That subhanAllah, I come home and there, alhamdulillah, the table is laid, things are good. Alhamdulillah, the kids are sorted out. Alhamdulillah, our teachers who teach our kids. that struggle with them, our doctors that heal us when we are sick by the grace of Allah. SubhanAllah, how many people should we at least thank in our du'as? Should we at least thank in our du'as? Because that which we pay them, and sometimes we pay them a lot, but what they give in return is more. Right, that mascavi you gave your wife isn't really what she's worth. Right, I'm sure she's worth a lot more than that. And similarly, the mascavi she gave the husband, which was nothing, we are worth more than that as well. Walhamdulillah. So part of being ungrateful to Allah is being ungrateful to the blessings of others that they give. But thank people and have a habit. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thanked others, and SubhanAllah, what did he give us? He took nothing in return. So giving thanks. Of the ways of doing it is sharing the charity, sharing the blessings, using that blessings for good charity. So when the female companions heard this, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are ungrateful, how did they do? What did they do? Immediately, they took off their jewelry and they put it in Bilal's cloak. And they said, this is one of the best ways of showing gratitude is to give charity. To say, Ya Allah, you've given me so much, half of it is enough, the other half someone else can have. That's the height of shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But you've given me something, I appreciate it. Someone else should also get this joy. Fasting, Allah says in the Quran, one of the reasons for Ramadan, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, that you will become grateful. That Allah needs to, sometimes, we only appreciate something when it's gone. So Allah doesn't take away our health and our food, He doesn't make us starve. He says, just stay a few hours without it. So when you get it, you remind yourself how good it is. That's why also Allah says, don't go to your husband and wife during the day. So when night comes, now SubhanAllah, wow, you look a lot more beautiful. It's something different. Same wife, same husband, but now you see each other in a different light. So we need to remind ourselves sometimes of how good we have it. Sometimes we need to take it a little back and see, if I didn't have this, how difficult would my life be? The daily adhkar, one of the easiest things that we should do, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, make that pujis after 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar. Not only is that a sign of shukr, but Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala removes all the minor sins of the day. Nabi says, it's a very simple ibadah that my ummah, let's neglect. Salatul Duha, two raka'ahs between Fajr, or after sunrise and before the sun is at noon. Nabi says, each and every one of you has to pay a tax basically for the joints in your body. Let alone the health, just the joints in your body, and there are over 200 joints. You must pay a tax for each one of them. What is the price you would pay Allah for good health? How much would you pay Allah? Ya Allah, I'll pay anything for good health. If I'm sick, I'd give everything to be saved, to be healthy. Allah doesn't need that. Just make two raka'ahs, salatul duha, two raka'ahs between sunrise and zawal, and this is your form of shukr to Allah. Looking, don't look at what others have and you don't have. Rather, we know the adab is look at what someone else doesn't have that I have. This person doesn't have a car. Yes, I look at this, you know, the big shot, he's got the Ferrari, and I wish I had that. But then you look at the man, he doesn't have legs. He says, SubhanAllah, I shouldn't say anything. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, I've got legs at least. I can do without that, but I can't do without these things. That's the adab of the Muslim. That's the adab of the Sahaba. And to have patience and shukr in adversity. To be patient is one thing, but the Ulul Azm, the greats of the greats, they are even thankful to Allah in adversity. They say, Allah, Alhamdulillah, I can still make shukr to you. Alhamdulillah, you're giving me this, it could be worse than that. And as we said, the last thing that you could, if you can't give shukr, then at least don't abuse the blessings of Allah. How ungrateful, Ya Allah, the sight you've given me for free, I look at haram with it. The wealth you've given me, I use it to purchase haram. The body you've given, I destroy it with haram. That is the height of ingratitude. So if you are not going to, if we are not going to give shukr and thanks to Allah, at least don't abuse it. At least that will be our excuse, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, at least, I didn't go out and spend in charity, but my money was halal. I can say that, Ya Allah. I didn't go out and use these hands to build masajid, but I didn't use these hands for evil. And inshallah, we hope that will be enough to safeguard us. And the reward, Allah, you know, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has the system. When He gives you, now you're thankful, you've put the ball, you've served, Ya Allah, I've done my part now. What return? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala doesn't leave it like that. He always outdoes you. So Allah says, if you are grateful, why should Allah punish you then? Why would you need to go to Jahannam? If you are thankful and if you believe. And Allah is appreciating and knowing that when you give shukr to me, Allah says, I appreciate it. and I will not punish you, I will reward you. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And remember that if you are grateful, I will surely لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will increase you even more. You give shukr to Allah for wealth, Allah says, now I'm going to give you more. And the more shukr you give, also I give you more. That's the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you give shukr, He gives more. And Allah says, but if you are ungrateful, then know my punishment is severe. That there is a side, the other side of the coin. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. We know, ya Allah, we don't use all these blessings as we should. We misuse them and we abuse them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify us. May we use His blessings in His sake and for His purpose, in a manner which He approves of. And we ask Allah to forgive our shortcomings, for Allah's mercy is wide and vast and without limit. May Allah guide our hearts and cure us of the disease of the heart. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, no further announcements. Just our classes on Tuesday between Maghrib and Isha, the seerah and the biography of the life of Nabi Muhammad. Please join. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.